In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber.
तुमसे ना हो पाएगा।
एक दुनिया, दो यार, उनको है फिल्मों से प्यार,
प्यार,
और एक पिक्चर बन गई दीवार।
मेरे पास माल।
They feud, you decide. It's time for Film Feud Bollywood.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud Bollywood, the podcast where we debate your favorite Bollywood movies. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
Hello, Vikram.
Good evening.
Namaskar. Sat Sri Akal.
Sat Sri Akal.
Adab.
Adab. That's a new one.
Yeah, I'm going with the vibe of the movie that we're feuding this week.
Which is?
Chak De India.
Chak De India.
Why don't you tell the good folk what we're going to do here, Vikram?
We are going to toss a coin. Heads will argue for, tails will argue against, then we go watch the movie. And then we feud. Have you seen this movie?
Everybody's seen this movie, no? It's pretty popular in its time.
I haven't. Is that a bad thing?
What?
I mean, maybe a scene or two here and there on TV, but yeah, I haven't seen it.
Weren't you a sportsman, bro? This is like the sports movie of the decade, man. Come on.
I mean, I was big into sports, but that doesn't mean I've seen every sports movie out there. There are way too many.
Not in India, there aren't.
I saw Dangal. Does that count?
Well, yeah, there's been a recent slew of them, but in the 2000s, this was it. What else? There was no other game in town.
Well, I get to watch it now.
Yeah. So you don't have an opinion on it.
I honestly don't.
I will reserve my opinion on it
clearly
until we toss the coin. So why don't we get to it?
Let's do it.
I will toss the coin. Heads means I'm for the movie and tails means I'm against. Let's go. And I got tails.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean. I got heads. I'm happy. I know this movie did well, so there must be some reason for it. I've heard a lot of good things about it, and I'm excited to watch it.
That opinion means nothing, because you haven't watched the movie, whereas I have watched the movie, and I can now reveal that this movie is shite.
It can't be shite, man. Like,
it is shite.
From everything that I've heard about the movie, it's definitely not shite.
It has Shah Rukh Khan in it. That's a great start for shiteness. It's also India's attempt at a sports movie, and unfortunately, I remember it just being such a drag.
Yeah.
Such a formula.
Yeah, that would have been completely different had you got heads. So
This is going to be the easiest feud ever.
I know your opinion here is shite. That's the only shite thing that's happening. What are we talking about?
It's not. And you're going to watch the movie and find out, even though you might pretend otherwise. So why don't we get to it?
Yeah.
I'm excited for you to go through the torture of watching this movie. This is like so sadistically beautiful.
Bring it, dude. Bring it. I can't wait. Let's go watch the movie.
Let's go.
Dude, this movie is so good.
Stop it.
I'm not kidding.
Stop it.
I'm not kidding. And right off the bat, I'll tell you, I have never been the biggest Shah Rukh Khan fan. So that sort of played into my outlook when I was going into this movie. But it's so bloody good.
Calm down. It's a run-of-the-mill sports underdog formula movie, which has Shah Rukh Khan. I mean, that should tell you all you need to know.
I don't think so. And every sports movie, almost always, because of the brilliance of the story, if I may, is always going to be an underdog movie. So most sports movies are underdog movies, but it's the pains the movie takes or the story takes to show little things that actually make it better or worse. And this movie did a great job with all of that.
Every sports movie ever did it better. You mentioned Dangal did it better. I haven't even watched this Akshay Kumar Gold one, which is about hockey. I bet Gold did it better. Lagan did it better. The side story in Lagan was so much better than the emotional core of this movie. And let's not even talk about the English, like, Hollywood real sports movies, like, real good ones. The Mighty Ducks, also about hockey, albeit a different form, with, like, children. That did it better. Mighty Ducks starring the great Emilio Estevez, his one contribution to cinema. I mean, this movie is like if the director of Pitch Perfect, which, by the way, is Elizabeth Banks, shout out to her, made Remember the Titans, which so far sounds pretty awesome. But then David Dhawan came and made one of his, like, Bollywood remakes of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this movie is. And then combined with that Orange is the New Black vibe, where they just like stuff in a lot of different girl characters and girl power and different characters and different states they're all coming from. They all come together, blah, 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 blah.
I feel like you're one sentiment away from being a hardcore misogynist. So let me just stop you there.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare go down this path. I plan to walk this line perfectly because this movie and its critique demands me to. Don't get down this whole like, oh my God, you're a meninist. Are you familiar with that term, by the way?
I am. And you're very close to being one and we haven't even started. So that's very surprising to me, firstly.
What do you call someone who's a male feminist?
A meninist?
Nope, asshole.
This movie surprised me to so many levels. I can't even articulate, man. I'm a sportsman.
Then don't. Don't articulate.
I will attempt it.
Allow me.
No. I will attempt it. My responsibilities demand of me. I've played a lot of sports in my life. I've played them at the highest level possible. I haven't played for India, but nationally, I've represented basketball. I've represented my state in basketball various times. So I know the ins and outs. I know how the administration side of things affects the sports. New coaches, senior players, junior players. I know all of those dynamics. And they've managed to show all of this very, very well in this movie, which I haven't seen in any Indian sports movie and very rarely in Hollywood sports movies as well. So that was very impressive.
Vikram, when you were heading onto the basketball court, did you and your team shout, Chakde, by any chance?
Okay, let me just use that opportunity and get my only concession out of the way.
Oh, your only concession?
My only concession.
Your only concession.
My words.
Only concession. Okay, let's hear it.
What is Chakde?
Precisely. What is Chakde? Why is this movie called Chakde India? They just picked a random expression from Punjab, I guess. This movie should be called Halla Bol India then. This movie should be called Go Go India, Go India Team Go.
And it's kind of overused in the movie, isn't it? Even like Shah Rukh Khan's motivational speech ends with Chakde.
Chakde.
I mean, if my coach would say Chakde to me, I'd probably just lose the entire effect of the speech beforehand and then just kind of laugh my way through the locker room back to the court.
I came up with much better name for this movie.
Ooh.
Riding off the aforementioned Emilio Estevez classic, The Mighty Ducks. Have you seen The Mighty Ducks, by the way?
I've seen all of them.
Excellent. Oh, you've seen the sequels?
I was a little kid when they came out, man. They were like my jam.
I did not expect that. One great name for this movie, The Mighty Chicks. Another great name for this movie, The Mighty This Movie Sucks.
No, the first one for sure.
Okay, The Mighty Broads. No, I'm just kidding.
Are they all the mighty?
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
No, there's other sports movie references I have as well. For instance, Bell Gaadi of Fire.
Bell Gaadi of Fire?
It's a play on Chariots of Fire. These are all going to be plays on Hollywood names, by the way.
But why'd you even choose Chariots of Fire?
Because it's a sports movie. Better sports movie. Should have ripped off the name. I have one more.
Remember the Titans, I'm assuming? Something about what?
No need to talk about that.
Surprising.
Maidan of Dreams.
Maidan of Dreams. Okay.
And my last one, possibly my favorite, Spice Jam.
Spice Jam?
One of the best sports movies of all time.
Spice Jam?
Yeah, Spice Jam.
Little Spice because they're
Indians? No.
Oh, they're Indian.
Oh, sexist.
Okay.
Oh, you were sexist.
There's no way people are going to correlate Spice with India. They're going to correlate it with Spice Girls. Regardless, my favorite still The Mighty Chicks. And regardless, let's move on.
I actually have something I want to move on to because I want to get this out of the way. I mentioned it on a previous episode of Film Feud Bollywood as well. There's a particular aspect of this movie that holds a special place in my heart. It's not exactly a concession, but it has to do with the music. And the reason is, I went to a party in 2007, New Year's party, clock strikes midnight. What does the DJ decide to play but Chakde, oh Chakde India. And we were all so confused. We were like, really? This is like the midnight ball dropping song. So anyway, we were all just kind of disappointed with the music and just kind of confused why he did that. 2 hours later, Delhi farmhouse party, the rumor goes around, the DJ has been stabbed.
Yeah, that's a funny story. I crack up every time I hear it. Talking about the music specifically, I'm so happy with the frequency of songs in this movie. It was so well done. It wasn't song overload, which was something I was dreading before I saw it.
Well, it doesn't have any synchronized song numbers, which is always nice in a Bollywood movie, especially in the pre-Anurag Kashyap, etc.
And people always find a way to shoehorn them in, which they didn't do in this movie, right?
Well, they kept playing that one song over and over though. Mola le le meri jaan. Something, something.
You have no heart.
I have no heart?
Yeah.
The whole movie is based on this Shah Rukh Khan shite story. I mean,
shite story.
I mean, dude, okay. You know what? I have a suggestion for tackling this feud. Okay. Why don't we go act by act?
Act by act. That's interesting. I like it.
So the first act is basically the Shah Rukh Khan flashback when he was a hockey player, leading all the way till when he becomes the coach, and then the girls petition for him to leave.
Yes, that's pretty much it. literally in a nutshell.
Then the second act is from that petition point till when the team comes together, and then there's like the battle of the sexes match, and then they reach the World Cup. And the third act is obviously the entire World Cup.
World Championship, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, it's not a cup?
It's not a cup?
They don't even win the cup? I thought the whole time it was a cup. The World Cup.
It's kind of weird because the film alludes to it differently in different points of time.
It's not the Olympics, that's for sure.
No, it's not the Olympics. I remember scenes in which one of the teammates is talking to her fiancé and referring to it as the World Cup. But when it's actually happening, they refer to it as the World Championship, which are two completely different things.
You're making my point for me.
It's not even a point. Let's just move on.
Okay, let's just start with the first act. First is the sequence where Shah Rukh Khan misses a penalty, and that's like the end of his career. And so what happens is that basically, as an act of sportsmanship, he shakes hands with a Pakistani player. I can totally imagine Shimit Amin and whoever the hell the screenwriter is just sitting together, smoking a doob and being like, bro, sports movie bana rahe, lekin isme na media ke bhi commentary dal denge, bro. Like, you know what, he just like spreads this. Oh, and by the way, then when he signs off, his name is like Satyavrat Yadav. Oh my God, bro, that's crazy. What a crazy like meta, like subversive idea, bro. That's crazy. It's like a student film thing.
I think you need to go smoke a doob, because that's not how people are. Like, usually, I think the stroke of genius in that particular sequence is to make the reporter a reporter from Aaj Tak, because that's how their reporting is always like. It's very like, juice, 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 meat, 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 let me make a story out of this.
Aaj Tak did not exist in the time period they were showing, did it?
I don't even know what time period they were showing, honestly.
Precisely my point. I think the biggest stroke of BS in that sequence is that anybody even cared that much about hockey to begin with. That becomes a media controversy. That's sad as that is.
That's pretty hurtful, man. And the other thing of why it got blown out of proportion is that they allude to this in the movie as well, that he's the only Indian teammate that goes and congratulates the Pakistani team. So that just adds to the whole spice factor. He's Muslim and he's not Hindu. That just adds to the whole spice factor. And we've seen countless times how quickly the country turns against its sporting heroes in real life. Like, it's so immediate. So this actually happening and the way they showed it was very believable. Usually in sporting movies where they show the necessary downfall, which is just a traditional part of sports movies, it's very exaggerated. It's very over the top emotional. But in this case, it made sense because he's a Muslim captain of the Indian hockey team in a World Cup final against Pakistan, and he misses a final penalty. So the media and the public always try to figure out what to blame and who to blame so that they can just direct their anger towards that. And this is what would have happened most likely in real life as well.
You don't think this was exaggerated? Right after that scene, it's followed by a scene of him leading his mother out of the mohalla, dragging his scooter along. And a kid goes, Papa, Papa, mujhe bhi gaddar dekhna hai.
Bro, mohalla rap is pretty important, man.
Oh my God.
Don't underestimate mohalla rap.
Not to mention that this movie is opening with Shah Rukh Khan trying to be emotional. I mean, Shah Rukh Khan in the 2000s, not that he's any better now. But back then, he was basically the Salman Khan of today, where everything he did was at least box office gold. And that just made him lean into more and more his like overacting, like kal hona ho vibe. And that's exactly what this movie opens with. The whole problem with this movie is that it linchpins its emotional core. Like, every sports movie needs an emotional core, right? It pins it on Shah Rukh Khan. And that plays into the third act as well. We'll get to it. Terrible, terrible, terrible decision.
I'm actually wholeheartedly in disagreement with you. I'm not a Shah Rukh Khan fan. Let me just make that clear. I actively don't watch the movies he's in. This is the best Shah Rukh Khan performance he's ever given. And before this, according to me, it was Swadesh.
Everybody knows Swadesh. The best Shah Rukh Khan's performance is always Swadesh, and that's it.
No, it's this movie. What are you talking about? He is a little over the top, which is almost necessary in Bollywood, right? But a lot of that was mitigated here by all the other elements in this movie, and his performance was so strong because of the script and the storyline. There were none of his usual quirks in here because he's so focused on the role. It's a very unusual movie choice for him because usually it's more of those Karan Johar type dramedies or drama movies. And those don't have any strong script for him to riff off of. So he does this over-the-top emotional Shah Rukh Khan, which you're alluding to right now. But all of that's missing in this movie.
Can I just say, I've never wanted you less. For you to be spouting love for Shah Rukh Khan, let's just move on to the next portion of this movie, which is when the girls finally get introduced. And by the way, there's another contrived scene where the men in this movie are basically the enemy, right? You know, like every
man. Not the men, just the association mostly. The association head and his chomu.
The association Hannah and Chomu are like the angle of ye chakla belan chalane wali ladkiyan hain, nikkar pehenge kya khelengi. I mean, those are like dumbly aggressive, exaggerated statements. But okay, diya. Then the very next man, the guy, is Shukla ji. He's basically like a straw man and he's going to spout every Indian stereotype. When the Jharkhand players come, he's basically like marrowing these like, you know, those NSD play type lines like, "Achha, ye to Ram Leela jaisa drama hai." When the Northeasterners come, he says, "Oh, aap to mehman ho." When the Telugu girl comes, she says, "Achha, Tamil na?" She's saying Telugu, he's like, "Achha, Tamil na?" I mean, what kind of writing is this, dude? This is like a high school play showing stereotypes. Dude, it's just, so sad.
Just as a rebuttal for the last Tamil Telugu thing, I went to college in Chennai, and that's actually true. North Indians do not understand the difference between Tamil, Telugu, Malayali and Kannad.
There's a realistic aspect of that that you can show. But if somebody says, write better dialogues, the girl says Telugu and he says, "Oh, Tamil na." I mean, that's just fake stereotype showing. At one point, the Punjabi girl, I'm forgetting her name, Balbir, I think her name is.
Jesus, look at who's stereotyping. Maybe, I don't know.
I think her name is actually Balbir, by the way, for some reason. She literally doesn't know what Jharkhand is. Her reason to just be confused, "Achha, toh jungli hai," is because she doesn't know what Jharkhand is. This kind of like stupidity is just forced into the movie to make that whole like, "Oh my God, we're so different, but we'll eventually be one point."
A couple of things there. I think his exchange with the Telugu girl was perfect encapsulation of the problem that exists with North Indians in terms of not being able to distinguish between South Indian states and people from there. So Telugu, Tamil means the same thing to a lot of people. So him asking her the question again, "Oh, Tamil na," is kind of perfect. And the second thing about Balbir and from the Pind and not knowing Jharkhand, I think it's showing your mentality as the new age urban Indian youth. You don't know what people from the Pind are like. You'll be very surprised in terms of their actual knowledge about things outside of their culture.
Deep burn, bro, deep burn. This is what's known as the ivory tower defense. Now you've just told me I can't comment on anything because I don't understand the people who are being represented in this movie.
No, comment away. Let's just see what they are because they'll shed a lot of light on your way of thinking.
Forget the girls. Forget the whole orange is the new hockey ensemble for now. I don't want to go into a deep dive, you know. For the most part, I thought they were just like one-dimensional schlocky characters. There were some exceptions. But out of all the side characters, I have to say, my favorite girl was Krishna ji, the assistant coach.
Right.
She's the best, dude. She's the best girl in the movie. At one point when the girls actually say that, "Hey, we've signed this petition," she just goes, "Ek rapta dungi sabko." That was the best scene in the movie.
Yeah, she's pretty authentic. And I expected the hockey in this movie to be very weak. And therefore, I didn't expect too much of this movie because I knew it relied a lot on its hockey. But the hockey was so damn authentic. I know these girls, we've already spoken about this. They trained for 4 months and it showed, right? And a lot of it came down to certain actresses who were playing their roles. So, for example, Chitra Rawat, who was playing Komal Chautala, she was actually a hockey player. And it showed. The scene where she's introduced, where she's just playing hockey on the street with kids from Delhi, that control she has over the ball is very, very tough to master.
It did show because she wasn't an actress. And I think Komal Chautala is the exception because I think she acted well, although she was yelling more than acting most of the time.
Dude, but she was so authentic, man. I felt like I was in Rohtak just listening to her.
Okay, but the others, I mean, either they were trained for hockey and they weren't that good at that, or they were trained for acting and they weren't that good at acting. I mean, it's not their fault. I actually give the movie props to the casting as a whole because they made sure they got people from different parts of the country. They made sure they look raw, fresh, no makeup. It's probably not easy for someone to decide to be in a movie, be on the silver screen for the first time in their life. It's kind of brave to present yourself as, you know, a sportswoman, sort of un-Bollywood actress-like. You know, they're usually not wearing too much makeup. They're sweating. You can see all the blemishes on their faces because obviously putting makeup would have been not appropriate anyway. So, you know, I respect the casting and I respect the actresses just going through the camp and putting themselves out there in the way they did.
Another thing that was really well portrayed in this movie was the whole national camp situation, right? They showed where they're staying. They showed what the camp situation is like, the restrictions they have, their training pitch, obviously. It was very realistic because we see a lot of these national camp coverages in news and media these days whenever like that there are issues with like the boxing camp and the wrestling camp and then the problems these guys have to face before a major tournament like a World Cup or a Commonwealth Games. So I think that was documented very well. And just to add to that, I think the camera work in this movie was brilliant, man. For example, they showed this one scene where the girls are entering their accommodation area for the first time. And it was very innovative camera work where they're following the girls from behind. So you get to see the first look of the camp as well, the room as well. And then it's like a rotation shot where they show all of their reactions, the sort of beds they're staying at. I think that was done pretty well, the camera work.
Oh, please, dude. Let's not even talk about the craft in this movie. Maybe there was one shot that was done well. The editing in this movie, did they even bother? Did you realize the amount of side swipes? The amount of jump cuts? They just randomly jump cut in the scene. It's like a YouTube video going on. At one point, Shah Rukh Khan will be talking to someone. The next point, it'll jump cut to him talking to someone else. It's like they don't bother making it a proper feature film, mass release Bollywood movie. It's like a student film going on. The craft in this movie is ridiculous. You know how in Star Wars they use side swipe, like, ironically? This is actually a method of editing, method of transition in this movie. But before we get to that, just finishing off the point about the craft, did you hear the background music in this movie? It was horrendous. It was like schlocky sports movie music playing in the background. It's like someone went to freemoviemusic.com, put in sports, and then a lot of like thousands of options came up. And then they're like, oh my God, I'm too lazy. They just hit like sort alphabetically and took the first 10 and they just stuffed it into this movie. At one point, there's like thunder going on in the background for no reason. And then like a few minutes later, the match is going on and there's literally like rave music going on. I mean, it's one of the worst background score I've ever heard in a Bollywood movie.
I didn't mind the music at all, man. I think it went very well with the scenes it was accompanying. Like when they were showing the montages, when they're showing training, new teammates meeting each other. It was all very relevant, man. And of course, who can forget? Uchakde India.
Keep going.
Chakde India. I don't know any other words.
Nowhere
from the song.
To run, nowhere to hide. Oh. This is the time, let's do it now.
Oh, I thought
that's the lyric.
I thought we were riffing, bro. No?
No, that's.
Weren't we jamming?
We weren't jamming. I was actually singing what is part of the lyrics of this Chakde India song.
I think that was great.
This anthem. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Stop it.
We're done again? Sorry.
I can't believe you're actually defending the background score of this movie. That is just ridiculous. I should win the feud right there.
I felt like Hans Zimmer did it.
Oh, no. That is ridiculous. I should win the feud right there.
Just desperate to win the feud because you know you're just full of hollow shite.
Oh, hollow shite. And by the way, just to round off this technical aspect of the film, the color palette sucked ass as well.
Color palette sucked ass.
It was all too yellow and desaturated for like no reason.
Get your eyes tested.
I remember that once I was back for winter vacation and I was spending some time with my friends in Delhi University, and there was this big hullabaloo because the Chakde girls, as they were called, they were coming to Miranda House, the girls' college in Delhi University. So a lot of guys show up because, you know, for like special events, guys are allowed to go to the girls' college. And then after half an hour of waiting for the girls to show up, people come to know that Preeti Sabharwal is not coming and all the guys left.
Are you serious? What? This happened after the movie, I'm assuming?
Yeah, yeah. I was very tempted to Google Chakde girls, where are they now? But then I just resisted the urge. I knew it'd be sad because I'd never seen any of them, with very few exceptions in any of the movies.
Yeah, I see that happening totally, man. They were. That's also a big reason why they were well suited to this role particularly. They might not be suited for the general run-of-the-mill Bollywood movie, but I think they did a pretty good job in overall casting as well as the effort that these girls put into their roles.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The girls played all their roles excellently. The Bihari stereotype played the Bihari excellently. And the
there was no one from Bihar in the movie.
And the northeastern Mizoram stereotype played the Mizoram excellently. And then the hot girl had the attitude. And the senior girl was like a total like, oh my God, like so annoying and such an ego. And then the girl with the red hair was like the cool chick until the cricketer showed up and then she just fainted. Oh my God, they just played it so excellently. Let's move on.
Dude, you know the line we were talking about at the beginning about you tiptoeing very carefully in terms of misogyny and stuff?
Nope, I have not crossed it. I refuse.
So you just refuse to admit it? I'm telling you, you've crossed it way back. So just tone that down a little bit.
No, you tone down your easy defense, your easy like...
I haven't brought it up. You keep doing it. And I just want to call you out on it because no. I'm your friend. And I don't want you to get beaten up on the road by 20 women after they hear this episode.
Stop being such a social justice warrior. Let's just wrap up like the first act, which wraps up, oh my God, how unpredictably they're not working together as a team. And oh my God, what do you think will happen next, Vikram? Do you think they'll work together as a team? Do you think that'll be part of the movie? Will it be like Avengers? Will someone need to die?
The point of this movie is not to be a suspense or anything like that. Obviously, they're going to work against the team. You know what's going to happen at the end of the movie pretty much. That's not the whole purpose of this movie. The whole purpose of this movie is to engross you and make you part of their journey and just edge of the seat sort of sport excitement that only sports can bring, man. That's the purpose of the movie. They're, oh, will they? Won't they? That's not the purpose of the movie. This is not a Alfred Hitchcock, ooh, will he kill her? Ooh, will she get kidnapped? None of that shit happening here, man.
It's a formula that they don't even stick to and hence screw it up. And a big reason why they screw it up, of course, Mr. Shah Rukh Khan. Let's just talk about the transition from what we've decided as the first act to the second. Is the point where he uses this strategy where he's going to be a total dick of a coach to turn them against him, backfires instantly. They go, they band together, they sign a petition, and then they come back, show him the petition, and he's like, oops, I give up. Maine apne mulk ko pehle something something kara, ab maine apne fir se apne aap ko let down kar diya. I give up. Cool. Kal se main tumhara coach nahi. My strategy failed. What a sportsman. Give up instantly.
The lack of sports in your upbringing and being part of team building in your upbringing is clearly showing here, and I actually feel bad for you. That's a big reason, that's a big part of when a team has been assembled, obviously unknown players, mostly only the senior players know each other, and they've thrust a new coach, a very hard-nosed coach, right? Those coaches are like that. I've seen worse coaches in my lifetime. I've been slapped, obviously, countless number of times because of missing like a single layup or something. But that's the strategy that these sort of coaches employ. And they know it works, right? The only way a team wins, no matter how good your individual players are, the only way a team wins if the team plays together as a unit. That's why it's a team sport. You can't just shine through individually. That's why Allen Iverson never won a championship, because he's a great individual player, but he's a really bad team player. So in order to do that, he obviously has only 3 months to prepare the team for the World Cup or the World Championship. And in order to do that, he knows that he has to crack the team cohesion bit first and then work on the skills aspect. And he does that perfectly. Like
can
his
I,
entire.
Can I talk now? Can I please just say something? Firstly, how rude. I was on many a chess team in high school.
Chess is not a team. It's an individual
Secondly,
sport.
Secondly, what I was protesting against was his strategy backfiring.
It didn't backfire. That's the whole point.
It did backfire. Let's just talk about that. They sign a petition after he becomes really hard-nosed and he gives up. He is basically ready to quit. And then fortuitously, he decides to take the team to a restaurant. They happen to come.
McDonald's.
And two chomus, once again, a very accurate, perhaps, yet stereotypical representation of men in the movie, go like, hey, baby. Hey, baby. And then Shah Rukh Khan didn't arrange them, this wasn't part of his plan.
But then he immediately caught on the fact that this could act as the instance where the team comes together and understands what Shah Rukh Khan was trying to go
he
for.
He got lucky, but he'd given up the previous day.
Yeah, he'd given up. So people give up. Coaches give up, man. If the team is not behind the coach, then the role of the coach is done. It's over. He's actually hurting the team more than helping it. And he understands that.
Yeah, he
understands.
Because
he's been a part of team sports himself. So he resigns. And then he sees that this is actually going to be a thing which brings the team together. So he purposely stops Krishnaji and Shuklaji from intervening because he sees it happening.
We all know nothing brings a team together like vandalism. It's so true.
Or beating up a bunch of jerks, man, because the whole movie is building up to how women are mistreated by men. And that's the perfect release that all of these women have, that they just beat all of them up. Even the senior most, I'm not going to be a part of this entire shenanigans player becomes a part of it because she also has some release or some pent up anger towards men in her life. And this sequence directly leads into the traditional, almost necessary, which is always going to be in a movie, sort of leveling up montage that sports movies have.
Yeah, the Eye of the Tiger sequence, basically.
It's a leveling up montage. It's not the Eye of the Tiger sequence. Rocky didn't do it first. And I was just going to write off this montage sequence. I know it's inescapable for a sports movie to not have a sports montage or like a leveling up montage. And most movies don't end up showing that montage well. It's very templatized. It's very like, oh, cut to a scene of practice, cut to a scene of coach, cut to a scene of this, cut to a scene of that.
That's exactly what this was.
No, this was actually very well shot. They took the pains of showing the practice sessions, the team briefings, the strategy meetings, and they weren't bullshit practices or team briefings. It was actually very evident that Shah Rukh Khan was playing a coach. He was telling his team what the strategy should be, how they should practice. The drills they showed were actual sports drills, right? They were just not like people with hockey sticks running around, which is what I expected. So I think it was brilliantly shown. And that leveling up actually showed that these girls are leveling up. And it showed the difference from day one to day 90 that they were ready for that world championship.
No, what they were actually getting ready for was a match with the boys. The most schlocky, stupid, contrived, like, second episode dip. You know that thing that a script is supposed to have, like, all is lost moment? So they were going to have a match. You knew they were going to lose and yet go through, because that's just what a formula demands, an all is lost moment. And they have that dumb match. And then in the end, like, the guys clap because they came close. I think it was like 3-2.
The men's hockey team in India traditionally has been very good over the years. So for any other team to come that close, it's great. They actually played pretty well. That's what it showed. I know this movie is inspired from true events, but tere sab se match hua tha, Indian men versus women.
Obviously
ka.
Not. This is the most contrived second act
Why
thing ever.
It could have been a behind the door scene. Why not?
Achha, secret match hua hoga?
Obviously secret hi tha. Aise thoda na crowd aage match dekh raha tha. Sirf association wale the wahan pe.
Ha, women's hockey team must have come close to beating the men's team and nobody would have heard about it. That makes sense. That makes sense, bro. That makes sense.
Just because you don't know doesn't mean it's not true. Okay, you're not the all-knowing. Aap bhagwan nahi hai.
You're like a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist about
Achha, tu bhagwan hai aur main tinfoil hat hu.
Hockey match.
Beech mein kuch hai nahi. Aadmi log hai nahi beech mein. Ya to bhagwan hai ya tinfoil hat hai. Dono aise ghoom rahe bas.
Oh my god, dude. The thing is, there was so much potential. I recognize the potential of this movie. This could have been a great underdog story. If nothing else, if they just stuck to the formula. If they hadn't messed with the formula, it would have not been bad. If they hadn't stereotyped too much, I understand when you make a first of its kind movie like this, girl-centric sports movie in India, you have to stick to the stereotypes. You can't do too much nuance. But there was so much potential to go a layer deeper. Should we move on to the third act then?
Let's do it, please.
Okay. There's predictable, and then there's predictable, and then there's this third act. If you literally asked me to write a script...
Were you expecting them to lose? Were you expecting them to not do well in the world championship?
Rocky loses, doesn't he? That's not predictable. That's an interesting twist on a third act, even though that movie came out a long time ago.
You see Rocky and you know, yeah, he's going to lose. It's just a matter of how many rounds he takes.
No way did you expect Rocky to lose.
You were going into that final fight for the first time when you saw the movie. You went into that final fight thinking he was going
to
win.
You're lying to yourself.
I am not trained. I will never lie to myself about Rocky. All right, take that back firstly.
Human psychology is trained to think that the underdog will win at the end of a movie like this. If I had to write it, it would literally be like, okay... Even the details are the most predictable. So they reach the World Cup, they get crushed on the first match, they have this crazy recovery.
That wasn't predictable. That 7-0 first washout wasn't predictable.
Oh, so standard. It's like literally like this little plateau and curve that you can draw between the second act and the third act. And then the third act, you think that all has been regained, but it hasn't. And then even those final scores are predictable. Like there will be a penalty and it will be, you'll be as down as possible, right? So you'll be 2 down on the verge of losing and then just come back. I mean, who are these screenwriters, dude? They're like insulting the audience's intelligence.
Dude, it's the magic of sports, man. I knew you were going to say this, but think about it. It's what's expected of these scenes. You know it's predictable. You know what the outcome is going to be, but it still engages you no matter what. The emotional element. It's so high that you're just completely engrossed. You know they're going to win the shootout, but you're still watching as if it's a real shootout.
I was not engrossed. And part of the reason for that was that the way they were showing the play at a world championship / cup level was barely at the level of like high school hockey. And don't tell me I don't know what hockey looks like.
No. But it's also women's hockey. Women's hockey is not as well covered by the media.
Sexist.
No sexist.
You
real.
Expect it to be worse.
No, it's real. That's how women's sports are covered. Have you seen any women's sports professionally on TV?
What do you mean covered? I'm talking about the actual play. And at the end of the day, it's a movie, right? It could have been way more exciting. Better music, better editor. I'll make one concession though here as well. It's like when they finally start winning again, like the second match, they actually go and win. Because she's saying, Didi, Didi, pass karo, Didi, pass karo, Didi, pass karo. And then the other coach goes like,
who's Didi?
Which one of them is Didi?
The English coach. And you know what? One thing that was really well shown in this movie was, and it's something that's very tricky, even in real life, is when you're at a particular tournament like this, right? You have like a day or two between matches. So the way a team upgrades while they're at the tournament is very important in terms of their success to win. One thing that happens constantly in these tournaments is a team is very well prepared in the run-up to the tournament, but they reach the tournament and they find that a lot of teams have counters to whatever their strategies are, or they're just not good enough, which happened with this Indian team, right? They didn't expect that whitewash against Australia. They were completely blown away. But then the way they showed the team progressing in terms of their skills, levels, and Shah Rukh Khan's sort of outlook towards how to play each team, I think that was really well shown, man. And it's a very tricky thing to show in these environments.
Yeah, but you know what they forget while showing this typical predictable third act? is all the other loose threads in the movie, right? Like what they were showing the girls were going through with their respective families, with their respective situations. You know, you think the movie's trying to do this difficult job of juggling all those things. They just abandon it completely. It's basically
obviously,
like
they're
product.
At the tournament. It's not good. They're not going to be dealing with their family issues, man. It's like a 3-week-long tournament. They're focused at the tournament. When they're at the tournament, that's all there is.
This is not the highlights of an actual team, right? This is actually a movie. Like, the reason you're connected to the movie is because of the human connection beyond just the sports story. It's the characterization, and they kind of failed at that. And I'll tell you the best example of that, by the way, is that they just save all those tracks until the movie ends. They show, for instance, Preeti Sabharwal turning down the cricketer that she was about to marry, which is the very emotional female empowerment ending for her storyline, right? Or the fact that Vidya, the team captain, gets accepted by her husband and supposedly by her in-laws who are proud of her. That was exactly what she was dealing with, which was established in the first act. No, that's placed at the point where, like, usually bloopers come for a movie, or in this day and age, item numbers come for a movie after the end credits roll. That's just so sad. What happened to the crux of this movie?
Dude, what are you talking about? Firstly, the whole social commentary and the role of women as perceived in India by the males and by the patriarchal society is very well sprinkled throughout this movie.
Except in the end.
No, it's not supposed to be at the end. That's the whole point of this movie.
Who says?
I say, because I'll help you understand it. All right. They reach this tournament having faced all of these issues outside of hockey in general, with their life, with their family, acceptance, non-acceptance, all of that. They're struggling with this mentally when they go into the tournament as well. And during the tournament, using hockey as the medium, they sort of get closure, right? Preeti Sabharwal gets closure in terms of understanding that she can say no to that Chomu, the cricketer Chomu.
Show that as part of the movie. Why show that as part of the credits?
They did show that as part of the
movie. No, it's with the credits.
No, it's not the act of showing it. It's the act of her realization, which comes during the tournament. It's her riffing with Komal Chautala, right? Where she's like, meko londe ko dikhana hai, goal mere hi honge. And then they come together, they actually pass the ball to each other, which is against the strategy that the Australians are prepared for.
Okay, we jumped ahead to the credits because of how much this annoyed me. But the last thing I want to talk about is the actual ending of the movie. Think back to your favorite sports movies, right? Like, some of them literally close out on just the team winning, right? Because unlike this movie, they've actually covered all the emotional cores before the credits hit. But anyway, this movie, once the team wins, it comes back to Shah Rukh, right? Everything is tied to Shah Rukh. It opened with Shah Rukh, it's going to end with Shah Rukh. That is so sad. That is so the wrong decision. To put all the emotional climax of the movie onto Shah Rukh's whole arc of redemption and stuff. The winning moment should have been, firstly, a strike, not a save. Because, like, Vidya is not established as, like, someone who's struggling to save or whatever. It would have made sense if Bindya, the egoistic senior player, would have struck and saved the game because she was, like, out for so long. But anyway, okay, so they make it this, like, stupid save where somehow Shah Rukh Khan knows magically what to do. But then, once the team wins, it just zooms into Shah Rukh getting emotional, his kal ho na ho acting. That's like if in Karate Kid, when Daniel-san does the crane kick. Firstly, Daniel didn't come up with it himself. If Miyagi told him, like, on the side, he's, like, making a crane with his fingers, he's like, do the crane kick. And then Daniel wins, and then Mr. Miyagi starts crying. It's not about him. It's about the team.
Okay, a couple of obvious rebuttals there, right? I'll talk about the shot, the final shot first. And why they showed Vidya, the captain, the goalie save, is one thing I loved about that sequence was it actually talks about sports mechanics, right? Shah Rukh Khan notices that her body is angled one way, which is she's going to shoot left, but her stick is angled like she's going to shoot right. And the obvious outcome of a shot like that or an attempted shot like that, that it's going to go dead straight. Things like these are not tackled in sports movies in general. I'm not even talking about Bollywood or Hollywood. So the fact that, you know, they show that the coach notices it, he's praying to God that Vidya looks his way and she does, and he just, like, signals that you stay straight. I think that has more of an impact than Bindya just hooking in a shot and the final thing. And the second thing about the movie, circling back toward Shah Rukh Khan in terms of the closure overall and not just doing it at the end of the championship, is because the movie shows that Shah Rukh Khan's fight is a very simple one. It's literally his own personal fight with his neighborhood, with his perception, or his country's perception of him. So there is no better way of sealing that close by showing him going back to his mohalla, people looking at him with respect, the same people who were calling him Gaddar. It's perfect.
Yeah, can we talk about that for a moment? So he's redeemed because the medias can't stop doing this charcha of Kabir Khan.
And he's absent throughout all of that.
Yeah, you remember when India won the World Cup, bro?
Cricket World Cup?
Yeah, Cricket World Cup 2011, was it?
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah, you remember right after that when everybody was just singing the nara, India ki jaan, Gary Kirsten? Does that ring a bell? Did the coach get a lot of play there? India ki jaan, Gary Kirsten?
What's your point?
Why is he getting all this redemption in the media for being the coach? Like, nobody talks about the coach like
that.
It's not realistic.
Because the Indian team 3 months ago was not shite. That's a big level up that he got to the Indian team. And it's very clear that it's not...
You can't apply logic. You have to think about what the media is actually like.
No, of course they're going to praise Kabir Khan. Who else are they going to praise? He single-handedly got that team gold, and it was well documented, and it was there for everyone to see. Gary Kirsten had a lesser role to play for the Indian cricket team than Kabir Khan did have for the hockey team.
How do you know?
Because I follow cricket. I saw that cricket team before Gary Kirsten, after Gary Kirsten.
I followed this hockey team, and
right,
I'm telling you,
right?
That wasn't it.
I mean, I don't believe that. Obviously, you barely follow mainstream sports, so I know you didn't follow the women's Indian hockey team before their run up to the World Championship.
And then they magically focus on Kabir Khan, and then this arc gets wrapped up, and he's redeemed, and everyone else can go hockey themselves.
Chak de, oh chak de India.
Nope. At that point, you have to sing Mola le 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 meri jaan.
So touching. And that was this week's episode of Film Feud Bollywood. Hope you guys enjoyed.
Thank you for listening. As always, we feuded, and now you get to decide who you think won the feud. You can go on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Find us on @FilmFeudBolly. Let us know who you think won. Let us know what points you might have raised. And let us know what movie you want us to feud next.
Please don't forget to rate or review us on iTunes. Or you can catch us on any podcatcher you listen to your podcasts on.
Or you can always check out our website, www.munchermedia.com.
Until next week.
Bye-bye.